This is the log of Magnus Carter, scientific observer with Space Force. Following our capture by the ancient Cometians on Mars, we were taken to their pyramidal citadel. There we repaired one of their sunboats, and in gratitude, their god-king Ray, called Natum, created us lords of his court. This honor, however, was fraught with danger, a danger that became acute when the god-king suffered a heart attack. When he elevated us to high-ranking court officials, we swore an oath.
Of course.
We swore that we would serve him as long as he lived, in this world and the next.
Hey!
When he dies, I think we will share his fate.
Oh, no.
Well, he's not dead yet, so let's turn our minds to escaping from here.
Someone coming.
Oh, my friend.
I bring joyful news.
Yes?
The king has departed this world.
Already?
You are to travel with him to the Golden Land.
Space Force, an intergalactic adventure by Charles Chilton, starring Barry Foster, Nigel Stock, Nicky Henson, and Tony Osoba. Episode 5, Living with Death.
You will travel with him to the land of truth.
No,
dwell with him in the house of gold.
Where exactly is the land of truth?
In the west. Beyond the setting sun. We have many duties to fulfill before we leave. I must return to the temple at once.
But what about us?
You must fast and pray and undergo the ceremony of purification.
I see.
When you are required, you will be sent for.
Wait, what? Fat lot of information we got out of Earth.
Well, we better find out what's likely to happen from somewhere.
Magnus could find out.
Me?
That's right. Must be 3 months since you became court scribe.
Yes, a little more.
Well, you must have discovered quite a lot about their customs. Even begun to learn something of their picture writing by this time.
Yes, I must admit, I'm beginning to understand a great deal of it.
And you're constantly working with Marianka on interpreting the king's letters.
Yes.
Well, then it can't be too difficult for you to find out what's going to happen to us.
You might even learn where this netherworld is located.
If we knew that, it might help us plan our escape.
Yes. I'll see what I can do.
I'll find out all you can. Anything. Anything at all.
Magnus! Saxon, it's Magnus!
At last. You've been gone nearly a week.
Now you can blame Marianka for that. Once I began to ask him questions, he wouldn't let me go until he'd answered them all in detail.
Oh.
Up half the night, every night, explaining rituals, tomb texts, coffin texts, mummification.
Mummification? They're not going to do that to me.
This Cometian obsession with death, it's beyond belief.
It's sick!
Oh, Marianka explained that the Cometian obsession with death is due to his devotion to life.
What?
Well, the best existence a man can hope for in the next life is one that contains all the things most desired in this. He can ask only that things continue just as they were.
Not for anything better?
No. If you're a peasant in this world, you can expect to be a peasant in the next.
Very nice if you're a king or some high-ranking court official.
For which the peasant should be grateful.
I don't see how.
Only a god can enjoy the full pleasures of the afterlife. When he dies, a king automatically becomes a god. But he's also still a king. And he needs his court, his priests, his peasants, his whole entourage round him. He takes them all with him after death. And his servants are grateful. For only by serving the god can they even hope to reach the next world.
What about the others, the ones left behind?
They know only one life. And then oblivion. In the word, there is life. Without it, there is nothing.
Charming. But suppose, in spite of all that, they don't want to go.
Well, that's too bad. All servants swear to serve their king in this world and the next. There is no escape. How remote were our chances of escape was demonstrated only a few days later. Maryanka ordered us to attend a special court within the precincts of the old royal quarters. We had been called to witness a trial. In an elaborately carved chair placed upon a dais sat Maryanka, clad in the simplest of his many priestly costumes. He signed for us to take up positions behind him. At his side stood Nofret. And below us, on the ground at the foot of the dais, were three prostrate peasants. Each peasant had the foot of an armed guard placed firmly on his neck, intent, it seemed, on grinding the prisoner's face into the floor. Another guard stood by, spear at the ready, should any prisoner attempt to escape, which appeared most unlikely, as all three were trembling with fear. Then Nofret spoke.
Dogs, sons of Apophis, demons, eaters of hearts, defilers of the sacred sword, lower than the serpent's belly, traitors, look up, look upon your blood.
There was a flash of light from Nofret's anchor and cries from the prisoners as they were blinded by its brightness. Then their cries turned to shrieks as each of them was run through by the guardsmen's spears.
For heaven's sake, Maryanka, what's going on?
When a man becomes servant to the king, he contracts to serve him forever. These men were servants to the god king. When they heard of his death, they tried to avoid the responsibility of their contract by running away. May others who have ideas of doing likewise profit by their example.
It was almost as though he knew we were planning to escape, as though the whole trial and execution was put on just for our benefit.
They were genuine deserters.
Oh,
they tried
on.
To avoid their responsibilities. Oh, now they've been forced to accept them.
By being blinded and then speared to death.
According to Maryanka, they've gone to the underworld to await the king at the door of the House of Gold, where they will serve him forever. He also says that as the officially appointed court scribe, I am to record all the events as they happen and leave them in the king's tomb.
I see. What else does he say?
Soon we're to witness the placing of the king's mummified body into its three coffins.
Why does he have to be mummified?
A body is just as essential to existence in the afterlife as in this. Therefore, it must be preserved. At least, that is what the Cometians think.
I shall be quite happy to preserve my body just for this life.
Same here. I'd rather continue it down on Earth.
Maryanka.
Good. You are ready. Now, we witness the placing of the mummy in the coffins.
Do we need 8 armed guards for that?
My lord, they have been appointed to watch over and protect you. You must not come to any harm before the funeral. You are essential to its taking place.
We attended the laying of Nahtum in his three coffins. The smallest contained his dehydrated bandaged body. A death mask molded to his face revealed the handsome features of a strong, character, determined man. The mask was painted gold. The wig which surrounded it was jet black. The middle coffin was molded to the shape of its owner, and its smooth surface was brightly painted in a feather design, representing the wings of the falcon god called Re. This human-shaped coffin was placed in another. The interiors of the two larger coffins were totally covered with bands of picture texts from religious writings. For among all the amulets, totems, talisman, and charms associated with the dead king, none was so powerful as the word.
At the opening of thy mouth, thou bringest forth the word, and the word giveth life to all creation. To speak the name of the dead is to make him live. Let thy name, O Nahtum, be spoken forever.
Marianko chanted throughout the ceremony, after which, having been suitably purified by being sprinkled with holy water, we retired to our quarters.
Another major ceremony over, and we're no nearer getting out of here than before the king died.
We must be patient.
With 8 armed guards standing over us, observing every move.
For our protection, so Marianka says.
Yeah, you can't make a run for it, see how much protection you'll get.
We've got to reach the surface somehow. On our own, unseen.
The boat grave is the only way out.
How's that opened?
By an incredible amount of manpower. It takes the combined strength of 50 peasants just to open the roof.
Where's the mechanism?
In one of the chambers leading out of the grave, presumably. But even that must be closed and airtight before the roof can be raised.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they'd lose all their breathable atmosphere.
It all seems hopeless. What's the next religious ceremony we're expected to attend?
The funeral procession, and then the funeral itself.
Which involves a journey to the underworld.
So I understand.
If we only knew where that was.
Well, we shall soon find out.
Oh?
The purification ceremonies begin tomorrow.
For how long?
6 days. Then will come the moment of truth. Six times we were purified. On the seventh day, the great procession wended its way towards the boat grave, where the mummified body of the god-king Ray, called Natum, was to be ceremoniously laid in the airtight cabin of the sunboat. The royal household staff and a number of representative artisans and peasants made up the greater part of the procession, each carrying an article or tool to indicate his or her trade. The cooks carried knives and cooking pots. Attendants of the bedchamber bore a model of the king's bed, tables, chairs, and wall matting. Then came the peasants with their hoes and scythes, the boat builders with a model of the very boat they were now boarding, and brickmakers bearing 4 magic bricks to place in the king's tomb. All boarded the boat and descended to the spacious area below deck. We took our place with the king in the boat's airtight cabin in the middle of the upper deck. This also contained the artificial sarcophagus on which the king's coffins were placed. We grouped ourselves around the bier in positions that represented the 4 cardinal points. Nofret took up a position to the south of the king, which was at his feet. We then had to wait while Marianka and his minions walked around the ship and purified it by sprinkling it with water.
Brought there, Chipper.
The intercom, sir. Marianka insisted on it. The insignia of my royal duties, he said.
Oh, yeah.
Very useful to the king in his new life. Yeah. And the anchor may be useful to us.
Mm. Now, Fred, does the king really need all the people who boarded this boat? There can hardly be room to move down below.
As in the old life, so in the new.
But why did they bring all that furniture?
The king must sleep, sit, write, read, pray, nothing is different.
And all that food?
The journey is long. We shall all need sustenance until we reach the House of Gold.
Beyond the setting sun?
That's right.
Do we really fly to this mythical place?
To reach the land of truth, we must first overcome the powers of darkness.
The powers of darkness?
Yes. They are...
Prepare yourselves for the dark and dangerous journey.
Are we actually going to take off?
Of course. How else can the god-king, Ray called Natum, conquer death and experience regeneration? In just a few moments, the heavens will open and we shall be on our way. You must remain here at all times and defend the god-king against his enemies.
But he's already dead. Who can harm him now?
The powers of darkness that would consume the sun would also prevent the resurrection of Ray called Natum and condemn him to the underworld forever.
You must be quick, my lord. The time is near.
Give me my spear and the mask of Seth. I must take my position on guard.
Outside?
Oh, I must. How else can what is written be fulfilled?
He's going to stand guard out there in the bows.
Then it is all pretense. He'd never stand out there if we were really going. It'd be impossible.
At the very moment Chipper was expressing his doubts about our taking a genuine flight, the star-painted roof of the boat grave rolled back to reveal the jet-black, diamond-studded Martian night sky. Immediately, the sunboat gave a slight shudder, rose slowly from her berth, and began to gain height. Then we heard a great wailing from 100 voices down in the hold.
What's that terrible sound?
The people below deck know our journey through the underworld is just beginning. They are afraid of what might happen.
Can you see out, any of you?
I can make out the top of the pyramid. We've just risen above it.
I can see it too, but where's the light coming from? What's lighting it up?
We are. It's the light from our power packet. It's coming from the ship's hull.
Oh, did you feel that?
Yeah. We're changing direction towards the east.
East? Marianka and Nofret have always insisted that the land of truth, the Netherworld, lies to the west.
Beyond the sunset.
Then why are you heading away from it?
Before we reach the light, we must drive away the evil powers of darkness.
We're building up quite a speed to do it.
What's our altitude, you reckon?
A couple of 100 meters, no more. Can you see Marianka out there?
Yeah, I can just make him out. Standing stiff as a statue, spear at the ready.
For what?
I don't know, but he and Nofret certainly seem to be expecting trouble.
How long have we been flying now?
About 11 hours.
And all on the dark side of the planet. This must be the world of darkness they keep on about.
We should meet the sun any moment.
Going round the other way.
What?
Well, appearing to come round the other way, if you must be technical.
Marianka's still there. How can he stand so still for so long?
How do you cope with the cold? The ship's covered with ice.
Ice?
Dry ice. Carbon dioxide. There's no water on the surface of Mars.
Oh, there is under it.
Otherwise... Oh, great Scott! What was that? What did we hit?
Look at Marianka.
Blimey! She's gone bonkers. He's shadow fighting with his spear.
Zaputis, the great invisible darkness. The monster serpent, the evil one. Every morning he tried to devour the sun and leave the world cold and without stability.
But what's Marianka doing?
He is fending off the serpent.
With just a spear?
I see no serpent.
He is there. Look, Marianka. He is winning.
Huh?
Look at the sky, red with the serpent's blood, redder than the sand of Kemet.
First rays of light from the morning sun.
It is staining the whole sky.
Typical Martian sunrise. Who does she think she's kidding?
No, what did we think?
I don't know.
Marianka's kneeling down.
What? Her?
Oh, just exhausted. He's getting up. Coming back to the deckhouse. I think the fight's over.
How did he maintain his balance? I don't understand how...
Marianka has trained all his life for this. It is his family's duty. His father fought the serpent 3 times.
He's into the airlock.
Marianka.
The fight's exhausted him.
He's covered with blood. Where's it all coming from?
A lot of double punctures all over his body.
Just like the bites of a very large serpent.
Oh, it's impossible.
Help me clean him up.
Leave him.
What?
Only I know the magic words for the healing of the wounds inflicted by Apophis. Let him lie where he is.
Well, if you say so. If you ask me, it'll take more than a few words to heal that lot.
The darkness and into the sunshine.
Almost directly over the place we started from. Look, there's the boat grave.
And over there, look, to the north, the ship.
It doesn't look as though anyone's been near her.
No, and there's the Land Explorer and the solar mobiles.
They look so close, but we'll never get to them.
Don't give up, Chipper. No. Now we've killed off the dragon, we'll be landing again. We'll get our chance.
Hello, we're slowing.
About to land, I shouldn't wonder.
No, we're not. We're only changing course,
huh?
No threat, where are we going?
We have passed through the underworld. We now go to the land of truth.
Aren't we going to land?
Not on Kemet.
Oh.
Never again. Ever.
How long is it now?
5 days and 4 hours, roughly.
Estimated speed?
I'd say 1,000 an hour, again, roughly.
Which means we've come about 120,000 miles. We must be heading for the asteroid belt.
I can't believe that. Provided we are on the correct path. We could only reach it in about 13 years.
13 years?
We won't last a tenth of that time.
You don't understand.
Food will run out in about 3 months.
It must be hell down in that hole. All those people and so little room.
We must turn back, otherwise this will be a ship of the dead.
But this is a ship of the dead. That is its sole purpose, to transport the dead to the land of truth.
Well, there's one corpse only on this vessel. Everyone else is alive and kicking.
But not for long. Soon they will join their lord and master in the netherworld, where they will serve him as they did on Kemet.
In my estimation, the nearest planet we can land on, other than Kemet, is 13 years away.
No, not 13 years. 13 days.
What?
I've just remembered something Maryanka told me. 13 days to the House of Gold.
Saxon! Saxon, wake up!
What is it?
We think we can see it. The House of Gold.
Where?
Directly ahead. Come and look.
A lone asteroid not a million miles from Mars.
And undetected on Earth.
How large do you estimate that body to be, Lodrick?
I'd say about 500 miles diameter. Almost as big as Ceres.
Perfectly formed. A beautiful globe. Unlike most asteroids.
Gorgeous color.
Yes, due to some freak reflection from its surface, I should think. Are we definitely landing there?
Yes. Maryanka says so.
He's recovered then.
Yes. Quite remarkable.
And he was right. 13 days, not 13 years.
He's not often wrong.
When does he say we land?
Tomorrow, at a golden sunrise. Somewhere on the surface, there is a boat grave, just like the ones on Kemet and on Earth.
A step pyramid, too, I suppose.
Very likely. Yes. According to Nofret, once we've landed, sufficient men wearing animal masks will be allowed off. They'll enter the necropolis, go to the boat grave and open it up. Then we sail in.
They certainly know what they're doing.
We landed and entered the boat grave, whose painted roof then closed in on us. We disembarked and held another funeral procession, but in reverse. The god-king Ray, called Natum, was laid to rest in a magnificent chamber, reminiscent of his bedroom in the royal palace. Other chambers leading from the bedroom were also very familiar. In them were stored the funerary furniture, religious objects, and jars of food, water, and wine, enough to feast his whole court for a year. The walls were adorned with scenes of Kemetian life. Then, the final ceremonies over, we were led towards a vast hall where, we understood, a superb feast was to be held.
What are these other chambers? Who's buried in those?
Ancient kings who died on Earth.
How did they get here?
We brought them back. First to Kemet and then to their golden home.
And who is the king in that chamber we've just passed?
He is known as Cheops, the builder of the great pyramid of Giza.
Ah, but he was never buried in it.
He was.
Hundreds of years before the pyramid was broken into, my ancestors removed his coffin and his mummy to Kemet, and then here.
Since then, the plundering of tombs has been so constant, we have been unable to restore them all.
Yes, but we intend to retrieve all we can.
Cold blimey, this looks more like an orgy than a feast.
In ancient Egypt, I understand it was often much the same thing.
Here, enjoy yourself.
Oh, no, thank you. We have strict orders. We are not allowed to partake.
Look at this. A model coffin full of food.
Look upon this, then eat, drink, and be merry.
Yes, for tomorrow we die.
The way they're whooping it up, you'd think they'd all been told they had another 100 years to live instead of only one day.
Which brings us to our own precarious position.
Precarious?
Maryanka and Nofret were here. They left us these.
What are they?
Gifts, games mostly. To while away the last hours. They said we had a choice. We could take poison and then go to our allotted place to die, or we could just wait for death to overtake us. I chose the latter on all our behalfs.
Thanks a bunch. By the way, where are Maryanka and Nofret now?
Gone to perform some religious ceremony deep inside the planet.
Which death did they choose? Quick poison or slow starvation?
I didn't ask them.
I wonder.
What?
Something Nofret said just
after the sacred fight with the serpent Apophis.
Well?
She said Marianka's father had fought the serpent 3 times. That must mean he'd attended 3 funerals.
Yes.
Well, if he attended 3, it means he must have come back from at least 2.
So you think Marianka will be returning from this one?
Exactly. More than possible. Marianka and Nofret do not serve the king. They serve the gods. And so long as the gods live, they live.
The boat grave. Come on.
Do you know the way? It was a very complicated route getting here.
We are split up into 2 pairs. Give us twice the chance of finding it.
How can we keep in touch?
With my royal intercom, we'll take 1 each. To carry a fair distance even inside this planet.
Come on, before it's too late. Yes, I can, but very faint. Contact's very difficult. We may have some news any minute.
You know the way you took?
I've marked it. It's easy to follow. Wait a minute, I think we're here.
You found it?
The first portcullis. We'll call you back.
Roger.
Come on, Chipper. You've had experience opening portcullises.
It's finally balanced. Once it starts moving... There. Up she goes. Well, that's one. There's the other. That leads to the boat grave.
Yeah, well, we must put our masks on first in order to breathe.
Not with the roof's closed.
We can't take a chance. Now, put it on.
Okay. There. How's that?
Good. You hearing me?
Loud and clear.
Then let's open portcullis number 2. One more push. Now.
And there's the boat grave.
They've gone. Back to Kemet. Without us.
I knew we couldn't trust those two. Now what do we do?
I don't know. With no boat to fly us out, we're stuck here for the rest of our days.
In that episode of Space Force, Magnus was played by Nigel Stock, Saxon by Barry Foster, Chipper by Nicky Henson, and Loderick by Tony Osoba, with Wendy Murray, Willoughby Goddard, and Bernard Brown. Space Force was written by Charles Chilton and produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.